In brightest day.
In blackest night.
Best and rarest of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show. Excuse me, the champions, the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your budding radio hosts.
In the springtime that is the world of comic books. It is spring. Spring has sprung.
Spring has sprung. Today, the 21st, Chris, of March is, I think it came like yesterday.
Or really? Yeah. It came yesterday like 2 o'clock in the morning or
first
something.
First full day of spring today.
And now, what is that? Is that considered the spring equinox or spring?
Yes,
spring equinox or solstice?
Spring equinox.
Spring equinox.
No, the solstices would be the winter and summer.
Okay. And
the equinoxes
are the spring and fall.
Spring and
fall. All right, so we got the equinox.
Yes.
All right,
yes,
just making sure.
You know, those daily planet watchings with the kids are paying off.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, so we're into spring. This is our first spring show of 2012. And I thought we'd talk about flowers.
Oh, why the heck would we want to do that on a show about comic books?
Okay, then let's switch back to comics.
That's a great
fine.
Idea.
And let's talk about comics.
All right, let's do that. Well, let's start with new this week. And new this week is brought to you by the Equator. It's not just another line on the map, you know.
You're right, Chris. Of course, today is when the sun is directly over the equator.
Wow. That's
what
great.
The equinox is, right?
Right?
So the sun now is traveling north.
Right.
So it's directly over the equator today, and then June 21st it gets to its furthest point north.
Right.
And
that's when it starts to get, you know, the days get lighter up until June 21st.
Right.
And then they get shorter as far as the light.
You know what? Well, we really got to stop this. All right. Let's get back to comics. Anyway, new this week. New comics heading into local comic book shops today.
Yes. And let's start with Amazing Spider-Man number 682.
That's a good one.
Holding it in my hands here. This is the, of course, by Dan Slott and with art by Stefano Caselli. Now, this is the beginning of the ends of the earth. Now, of course, this is one of Spider-Man's most evil foes, Doc Ock. Of course,
yes.
This is his
the sinister Doc Ock.
He's basically realized that he is dying. He's now had he wants to get rid of his final master plan, which is of course to destroy the Earth, right?
Right.
Get rid of everything, and so he's gotten together his Sinister Six.
Sinister Six.
And of course, we've got the Rhino and the Sandman and all those bad guys, Electro and Mysterio and the Chameleon are all in it. Anyways, this is the beginning of the new story arc, so this is a great jump on point for people. It looks awesome, of course, with Dan Slott doing the writing. It's always great.
Dan Slott is a great Spider-Man writer.
He really is. Dan Slott is able to he really gets the whole Spider-Man concept, you know, the in-jokes, the gags, you know, beating up on the criminal and then mocking him at the same time.
Yeah,
you know,
the smart remarks.
Smart remarks and all that
I
kind
love
of
that
stuff. Yeah. Dan's great at that.
Harkens back to the old days of, you know, what made Spidey Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, for
all right,
sure.
So Spider-Man 682 at your local comic book shop. Today.
Yes. Next up, we have Justice League number 7.
Justice League number 7.
Yes.
That is, Chris, that is the comic book of the last half a year.
Pretty much.
That is
Justice
the
League
number
is, yes.
one comic book month in and month out for the last 6 months, and I'm sure that this Justice League number 7 will probably top the charts again.
Absolutely.
For this month. This
yeah,
is the flagship DC title
and
the new 52.
Yeah, and this particular story arc, it looks like there's going to be a new story arc now. The guest artist of Gene Ha is doing this story arc, this one. And, of course, Gene Ha is probably he's done a lot of work, but he's probably best remembered for his work on Top 10, written, of course, by Alan Moore
for
the ABC lineup of comics.
Yep.
This one is written by Jeff Johns and of course, it looks fantastic. It just looks absolutely amazing. I don't want to give too much of it away, but I will say that Shazam is going to be in this issue.
Now, here's my question, and I don't know the answer, and I'm sure you don't know either. Is Gene Ha scheduled for this issue, or is it like Jim Lee just kind of, my hand is sore.
It said guest artist, so I'm assuming he's not going to be the regular. I think he's just like, you know, filling in until Jim Lee or whoever it happens to be is going to be taking over, is just taking a bit of a break.
Right. Okay.
I don't know for sure. I could be wrong about that. As I said, it says guest artist, so
right.
I don't know.
Well, Lee did the cover anyway.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Justice League number seven, at your local comic book shop today.
Pick it up. Now, the next one that I have here is a different kind of comics that we would normally talk about, but it is an alternative comic.
That is an alternative type of comic.
Yes, it really is. It really is. So we've got from Xenoscope, we've got The Jungle Book. Now, The Jungle Book, it's actually part of the whole Grimm's Fairy Tales lineup of comics from Xenoscope, but it's The Jungle Book, which isn't even really part of the Grimm's Fairy Tales. So that's why I'm saying it's sort of an alternative comic here. So anyways, I just thought I'd give it a try. Of course, I had to pick it up because...
Of the elephant on the cover?
That's right. That's right. There was, for those of you who are familiar with the Jungle Book story, of course, we've got Mowgli and, you know, the usual type characters. This one seems to have
a very, very bodacious young lady on the cover squatting.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yes. With an elephant in the background.
Yeah. And some sort of flying squirrel about to attack her.
That's right.
But it looks very inviting.
Oh, well, yes, yes. That is one way of saying. Anyways, I thought it was pretty interesting. So,
if you're going in without the kids,
it's going to be a top shelf comic.
Go check out The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And the way you wanted to see it.
And finally, for our kids' pick of the week, we've got Knuckles, the Echidna Archives, Volume 2. Now, of course...
Knuckles Muldoon.
Now, of course, for those of you who aren't familiar with who Knuckles is, Knuckles was sort of the sometimes adversary, sometimes partner of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Right.
From the Sonic video game. Now, it seems like Knuckles I think it was meant to be the adversary, but he seems to sometimes befriend him sometimes. Mm-hmm. But anyways, this is sort of a...
Because it's a kid stuff, right?
Exactly, all the time. So this is sort of the...
Arch nemesis.
That's right. Arch nemesis. And so this is sort of the, like a compilation of the old Knuckles comics that came out a long time ago.
Right.
So it looks like it's going to be a good book to read. And as I said, it's got a whole bunch of the old Knuckles comics and Sonic comics as well.
Okay. So that's Knuckles Archives Volume 2 in a nice little kind of a digest graphic novel format, which the kids really, really love, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
So check that out at your local comic book shop. And of course, the four Chris and I mentioned are just a spattering of all the stuff you'll find at your local shop today.
Right. Now let's have a little quick musical interlude. This is an excerpt from the movie Adventures in Babysitting.
Hi. My name's Chris Parker. I live in Oak Park. That's a suburb.
They probably figured that out.
This is Brad, Sarah, and Daryl. And we're in trouble.
No doubt.
See, me and my boyfriend, Mike, tonight's our anniversary. But then he went and canceled. And now I'm stuck watching these three. And it's so hard.
And it's so hard.
Babysitting these guys.
She got the...
I got this call from Brenda. I went to pick her up. The tire had a blowout. And my mom's car got shot up.
And these guys started to chase us.
And we all got hijacked.
We're cruising down the highway.
In this big old Cadillac. And it's so hard.
Yeah! It's so hard.
Babysitting these guys.
She got the babysitting blue.
Baby, babysitting blue.
I've got the...
and you wish your feet were walking in someone else's shoes.
Some guys are out to get us.
And Brenda's probably dead.
Chris, ain't that a man?
Well, the reason why I chose that,
I was going to ask why.
Have you ever seen Adventures of Babysitting?
I have not, but I have heard of Muddy Waters.
Well, that's it's a shame that you have not seen this movie because
it is really honestly?
It really is it's a fun movie. Directed one of Chris Columbus's early movies, who went on to do a lot of
Chris Columbus,
who went on to do Harry Potter and a whole bunch of other kind of movies.
Okay.
Not Chris Columbus,
right?
That,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got it wrong.
Yeah, this isn't 1492.
Right,
yeah. In the movie, there's a little girl that she's had where the babysitter's babysitting, and she's a big fan of Thor.
Right.
So she wears a Thor helmet. And
right.
So anyway, so there's.
So it is somehow
loosely connection
to comic books.
That's right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Because, Chris, the show promotes comic books.
Absolutely.
Right. So when we pick music.
It's all about comics.
It's all about comics.
That's right.
Right.
All right.
Good. Where are we now?
We are at Mailbag, Comic Culture Mailbag.
Right.
All right,
what's
here?
That brought to you by the way? All right, I'll read it.
That's a great question.
The Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by the old comic book letter columns. Like reading how people felt about an issue 4 months after it was published? Then the old comic letter columns are for you.
You know what? I've actually had a few letters printed in the comics.
Come on, I know. Do tell. Oh, come on.
Let's see. I remember there's one in particular where you know.
Dear Penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me.
No, really, I did. Anyway,
I'm
not going to go over it on the air. But you know, I've had a few letters printed. And,
good for you.
It was. You know what? I have to say, it's very exciting to see your letter printed.
I am sure it is. Because it's right in the book.
That's
right
in the book.
But in today's age, right, of just instant, the book comes out today.
Yeah.
The book comes out today. The review was out yesterday, and people were you know, talking about how great it was because somebody stole a file. And everybody.
Forums and all that, chat rooms.
And literally an hour later, you're reading 800 reviews, right?
That's right.
Back in the old days, though, man, you had to wait until, you know, issue 180 came out. You had to wait to 182 or 183 before you read what people thought of 180.
It's true.
Right?
It's true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's funny.
Well, but
anyways,
awesome.
So Walt, I have a question for you here.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Go ahead.
This is from Darcy in Mississauga.
Darcy.
Dear Walt, I read your Rise of the Golden Age article on CBD yesterday. Problem is you didn't name any specific issues I should be hunting down. What books should I be buying? I'm a little at loss for words here. I didn't actually read this article. So what's he talking about here, Walt?
Right. Okay. Well, I posted on comicbookdaily.com yesterday something about the golden age of comic books having a second wind because the silver and bronze age were taking over the investment. Like people were buying the first issues of Wolverine, the first issues of Spider-Man for the last 15 years.
And
that whole golden age era, except of course for the big, you know, first Batman, first Superman.
Sure.
That whole era of the late 30s into the early 50s was kind of neglected from the investment collecting standpoint.
Right. Yeah, because it seems to me like Silver Age books are kind of outpricing themselves. Like people can't really afford. Like, I mean, sure, 20 years ago, maybe you could afford an Amazing Spider-Man number one, but not now, right? Like, it's just for the average buyer.
You can't even afford a number
buyer.
Three right now.
Right.
Right?
You know,
and I think just generally speaking, people are noticing that some of those really old golden age books from the early 40s are not only cool but they're a good value
right?
So anyway, my article talks about that, but I purposely didn't want to be specific.
Well,
you know,
why not? Come on, give me one
all
book.
Right, Darcy, I mean Chris,
my name's Chris, by the way,
and Darcy,
give me one book that people should be looking at.
You know what I mean, if you could afford it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say this, if you can afford it, Marvel Comics number one.
Yeah, but that's
Hold on. You asked for one book. That's 1939, I believe, actually.
Okay.
And that's the first comic book that, you know, of what is now Marvel.
Well,
right?
Yeah, it's the first Human Torch.
Right. First Human Torch, first Submariner, though
it's
technically not the first Submariner. A little history lesson quickly, because Submariner appeared a few months before in a movie promo called Motion Pictures Funnies Weekly, which there are only 8 known.
Right.
7 of which are rat chewed.
Right.
One is nice, right?
Right.
So it really doesn't count because it was kind of like a movie house thing like a little pamphlet, really, right?
Okay.
And I think the book gets beat up because it's, you know, not seen as Submariner's first appearance. When you look at it being Submariner's first appearance, Human Torch's first real appearance, both of those characters' first real appearance, and the launch of what is now Marvel.
Sure.
You know, 15 years ago, it was neck and neck with Action Comics 1, the first Superman, and Batman, Detective 27. Yeah. And now Detective 27 and Action 1 have just left it in the dust.
Oh, it's just launched.
They're like over $1 million, and Marvel Comics is languishing at, you know, a lowly $460,000 in high grade.
Yeah.
I guess I would say that that book is probably a book from the Golden Age that for a low grade copy, you know, if you go in with a couple of buddies, hey, you're drinking beer, you're at the hockey game, you go, hey guys, why don't we go 5,000 each and we'll get a low grade copy of, you know, Marvel 1.
Yeah, and then they're going to laugh at you.
They'll take slap shots at you, probably. Without your jock on.
Now, is there... Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, and I don't mean to do that to you. Mm-hmm. But is there a Golden Age book that...
I know.
I'm kind of enjoying this.
Right.
Is there a Golden Age book that's in the hundreds of dollars that somebody could buy that it might be worthwhile for them to invest in?
Hundreds of dollars?
Yeah.
You know,
rather than thousands, you know, for the average working stiff out there, you know, who doesn't necessarily have a whole lot of money to invest, but wants to put their money in something.
Well, I like a nice low grade copy, because all you want is a copy, right? A nice kind of 3 out of 10 copy. People can picture in their head what a 3 out of 10 will look like. If 1 is just a tattered rag, and a 10 is just immaculate, no imperfections, a 3 is, you know, a low grade copy. Pick up Walt Disney's Comics and Stories number 31.
Okay, that's...
And the reason that is Donald Duck.
Yep.
But it's the first time
Carl Barks writes
for the character. And, of course, once he wrote it, the whole, you know, It really took off. I mean, he kind of set a new standard in storytelling for funny animal comics and stuff. And the important part of that book is that character and that creator, Carl Barks, are loved not only in North America, but are revered massively internationally.
Right.
You can pick a nice 3 or 4 up for a few hundred dollars.
Okay, fair enough. That's good to know. All right.
I hope that helped, Darcy.
Let's have a quick musical interlude here. Let's go back to some blues here. And we'll get right back to the comics.
Boom, 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 boom. I'm gonna shoot you right down. Right off of your feet. Take you home with me. In my house, boom, 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 ow, 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 ow. I love to see you strut up and down the floor when you're talking to me. That baby talk, I like it like that.
All right, Chris, in the words of Ricky Ricardo, Lucy, you have some splaining to do.
Well, you know, I figured, well, that was...
How was that comment?
Well, that was John Lee Hooker, of course, right?
Yeah.
John Lee.
Yeah.
Jim Lee.
Right.
Is that Jim Lee, you know, John Lee Hooker?
That makes total sense.
You know,
and you know, the only reason I'm forgiving you is I love that song. Oh, my God. I love that song.
All right. Fair enough.
Great segue.
I think we just wanted to play it anyways.
Yeah.
All
great
right.
segue into what? Into trailer trash.
This is Trailer Trash, yes.
Trailer Trash. And Trailer Trash is brought to you by John Carter, Warlord of Mars. Please, see my movie. So you're reading stuff on the net, it's going to lose $800 trillion?
Yeah, you know what? It's even on... I was watching CTV National News,
right.
And they were saying that it's set to lose $200
million.
$200
million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? Apparently they spent $100 million in marketing.
Yes.
It's hard to believe that. Hard to believe that. In marketing and advertising, I should say.
Wow, you're absolutely right. I mean, I on the March break was last week. I had the kids off, and my youngest boy had his birthday, and he wanted to see John Carter, Warlord of Mars. So I actually saw the movie.
And what'd you think of it?
I liked it. It was okay.
You know,
it was good.
And this is the thing.
It wasn't great, though.
From what I hear, most people think it's actually not a bad movie.
Yeah, and the kids loved it.
Yeah. So I think it's getting a bad rap. And now you were telling me yesterday that you thought that if they cut out about a half an hour of the movie, that it would have been way better. A little more fast-paced.
Sped it up a bit and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, and you know what? The thing is with these longer movies, too, I think if they cut her down to – cut her down to like 105 minutes or whatever it is, they can get one extra viewing in a day.
And
that first opening weekend or whatever, it makes a lot. But I think with this movie, that would have probably helped the movie too, right? But you know what? Visually stunning. Storytelling was okay. The twists and stuff like that were pretty good. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, Chris. It was not a bad movie.
And that's,
it doesn't deserve the bloodbath that's happening around the movie.
And
right
this
now.
Is the thing. From what I hear, is that most people think who actually go out and see it say it's actually a pretty good movie, but unfortunately, nobody's giving it a chance, right?
So. All right, let's move on. Yeah. Let's move on to trailer trash. So, what do we got in trailer trash?
You know, as we like to do, we like to poke fun at the sheer
stupidity
of things that come out on the internet, as far as them trying to release new features and things like that, new ideas, or publicity stills and things like that. Well, there is a new Avengers still showing the interior of the Avengers helicarrier. I guess the Nick Fury Shield helicarrier. I should say. The helicarrier.
Wow.
So basically, if you look at this little photo we've got here, kind of looks like a warehouse.
It looks like a warehouse with trucks driving in it.
Yeah. And
but apparently, that's the interior of the helicarrier.
I'd have no idea.
Right.
You know, but
that could be like could be the basement of the the Metro Toronto Convention Center.
Exactly. Yeah, and we would never know. But big news, though.
Big news. So, but it's all building up, though, Chris. Because at what other time, other than 5 weeks before the movie hits, would you and I be talking about the still interior of the Shield helicarrier?
It's crazy. Right? I know. But you know what? But having said that, I am still very much looking forward to the movie.
Well, because they're giving you little tidbits. They're teasing you.
Teasing.
Little shots of the helicarrier. Now, after I see this little those little safety lines that, you know, warehouses have,
I want
more.
Well, you know what? I'm sure you will get more.
Right.
Come May the 4th, you will go and see the movie.
I will come May the 4th, Chris.
All right.
Listen, what else do we got? Oh,
first look at TV's Green Arrow. Green Arrow. So the network that brought you, Smallville,
right?
Now CW Network has released the first photo of a Green Arrow TV series starring Stephen Amell in his Green Arrow costume.
That's exciting.
Yeah, well, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
So this is a guy, he looks like Robin Hood.
And
he's got a new TV series, and it's called The Green Arrow.
Yes.
And there's a picture of him on the net to get to whip up the excitement and whip up the fervor. Is it fervor?
Fervor. I like
fervor?
That. Fervor.
Yeah. And to whip it all up.
I had a fervor carpet at home.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's good. I don't know what to say to that because I don't know what fervor means. But I thought I'd use it in a sentence.
That's good.
So there is, you know, this because Green Arrow is what? Green Arrow is kind of replacing a Smallville.
Right.
Kind of.
Right. Well, and as they're saying here, that although it's meant to be replacing it, this is going to be a different show, a darker and harder-edged series.
Darker and harder.
That's what they're saying. That's what David Nutter, who's currently directing the Arrow. You got to be a Nutter to work on that show.
Yeah. All right.
I like how they're just calling it Arrow. They're calling it working on the Arrow pilot. Hey, I love how things are always dumbed down to just one word.
Right.
You know, hey, did you see Arrow?
Yeah. Yo. Yeah.
Yo,
Arrow.
Arrow.
That last Arrow episode was.
That was solid, man.
Bitching.
Yeah.
All right. Chris.
Avengers posters.
Thank you.
Yes.
Avengers posters.
There's three new banner posters coming out with two heroes per poster.
Wow. Two. You don't just get one, Chris.
No, you get two heroes.
In one poster.
This
is too much.
It's too.
I can't handle it.
Too much.
too much. And which ones are they?
Well, okay, so you've got the first one is, of course, the Thor and Captain America.
That would be my favorite. I'm sorry. Well, Thor and Captain America.
Well, yeah, they're the big wigs. However, in the second one is the Hulk and Iron Man.
Okay, I changed my mind. That would be my favorite.
Okay, and then of course at the end you have Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Okay, you know what? That's my favorite because Black Widow, she's looking hot.
Yeah,
in that
that's what I figured you'd say. That is, right. Of course, Scarlett Johansson. So she's right. She's a pretty good looking girl.
Yes, she is.
You know, if you like that sort of thing.
And this guy here, he looks like that last trailer trash we did, the Green Arrow guy.
Yeah, well, that's Hawkeye.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So makes sense. Right.
You
they
do
both
know
shoot arrows.
You do. Yes, they do. They both shoot arrows.
Yes, they do.
That's kind of, you know, if you know, when talking about, you know, superpowers, things like that, you know. So what do you do, Captain America? Well, you know, I have super strength. You know, I've got this kick-ass shield. Oh, well, Thor, what do you do? Well, I'm the god of thunder. Hawkeye, what do you do? I shoot arrows.
With multiple heads.
Yes. All right.
Because he gets to pick the head.
Well, there's like the boxing glove arrow
and all kinds of cool arrows, right?
That's right.
All right.
Okay, let's keep going here. So we got the Amazing Spider-Man in 3D poster. Now, this
Wait a minute. There's more trailer trash?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Okay. So the new 3D poster for Mark Webb's Amazing Spider-Man, which hits theaters on July 3rd. This is actually an animated GIF, as they call it, posted on the comic book movie site. So it's actually a 3D poster. It looks like, you know, he's actually, you know, swinging out and shooting his webs.
Which is cool because I saw this online and it's like a 2D screen, but it kind of looks like a 3D image.
Right. So,
and it moves and the web thing shoots out at you.
That's great.
The web thing.
All right, let's call it a day for trailer trash here.
Yes, please.
And we'll get to some music. Hold on a second here. Let me get something going here. I don't know if we've played this or not. I don't think so.
The kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.
The reggae version.
I don't get it. No, Goldfinger, right? James
Goldfinger.
Bond.
Yeah.
Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Yes,
James Bond.
Goldfinger ploy. Yes. All right. Chris, let's talk about industry news. And industry news is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
It's coming up May 5th.
That's right.
Saturday.
The day after the Avengers premiere.
The Avengers movie. And it's not too early. Every show up until Free Comic Book Day, you and I will be plugging.
Yes, absolutely.
Free Comic
it's
Book
very
day.
Important.
Mark it on your calendar. It's the day that you have to head down to your local comic book store, support your local comic book store by going there and taking all their stuff for free.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? I mean, all the stuff that says Free Comic Book Day.
Well, yeah, you don't just get
free.
To take things for free.
Well,
right.
Chris Wilson, I can take anything. I'll just take this Thor bus.
All right. I heard it on the radio. Yeah. But it must be true.
All right. Anyway, so let's talk about industry news and let's talk about Batman Live.
Batman Live. So this is awesome. This is something I'm hoping comes to Canada. It started in the UK. Our good friend Danny Champion went to go see it. And he reported on it.
Danny saw it.
He said it was awesome. He said it was awesome.
It was top notch.
Top notch, I say.
I can't think of anything British to say that means good.
It's
crackers.
I don't know if that's a British term, but no. I say that was jolly good crackers.
I'm sure Danny will correct us. Anyway. All right. Keep going.
Please. The Batman Live show, which debuted in Europe last summer, has been described as a coming-of-age saga of the origin of Robin. And this is now, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, this is sort of a Cirque du Soleil type
du Soleil
Batman.
That
really is.
It's really,
good.
Yeah.
No, what are you, my parrot?
Ed McMahon here.
Yes.
It is like a theatrical circus mix.
Right, exactly. Right? It's not necessarily it's not like a musical.
No, but it's a visual extravaganza.
I couldn't have said it any better. A visual right. extravaganza.
Right, and I don't know how it did in Europe, though.
I think it did very well.
Did it?
And so now it's coming to North America. Now, as of right now, there are no Canadian tour dates. However, some of the stops so far are going to be in Anaheim, St. Paul, San Jose, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oklahoma City.
Oh, hold on, wait. Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Like redneck.
Yeah.
Iowa.
And no Toronto.
And no Toronto or Hamilton.
I know. So, but here's
correct
the thing.
That.
Here's the thing.
I know. So, hold on. I know Danny. Danny probably because he was connected. He got VIP treatment. And stuff
I'm going to write to them.
Yes.
And I'm going to see why they're not coming to Toronto.
Yes.
I'm going to find out.
Please.
Now, having said that, my good friend Glenn Kay was happened to be at WonderCon on the weekend. And of course, that is the one, I believe it's in Anaheim. Yeah, Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently he also heard a little bit of information about the Batman show. He said the tickets for L.A. are a little bit pricey. $60 for nosebleeds.
Wow.
And $120 for, relatively decent seats. So
right.
He said, if you're going to go, be prepared to pay a little bit of money. But it's apparently, as from what Danny said, it's a great show to see it. So really, it's you're going to be paying a little bit, that's all. But
yeah.
It's probably well worth it.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. The thing with these things is that they can't make the mistake. Is they know. They're smart. They do these shows all the time, right?
Right.
They can't make an arena spectacle,
yeah.
Sorry, into a stadium event.
Right.
If you know what
no,
I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, okay. Cirque du Soleil, the reason they do so well and the reason they have a great reputation, the reason they get the money that they get, they limit their shows to a seating arrangement where, pretty well every seat in the house
is
will
a good,
thrill you.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if they're, if these guys, these promoters are going, we're going to put it in the Coliseum in L.A. Poor schmuck is over there in the other end zone. What the hell's going on? I can't see anything. That's wrong.
Is that Batman's Batarang?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to, do the regular theaters type thing.
Good.
But I don't know for sure. But anyways, let's move on here. So, Walt.
Yeah.
Walt, have you ever heard of the book The Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games. My kids read The Hunger Games.
Oh, really?
They love The Hunger Games.
These books, I never know what the right age group for these books are.
Like tweens.
But I see adults reading them.
Yeah, but adults read them too.
So that's why I'm never too sure. I didn't know if it's a tween thing or a teen thing or a 20-something. Because really, the Twilight books were meant to be for tweens and early teens. Yet, I got all kinds of friends I have all kinds of friends that have read them.
It's a literary term.
That's right, literary term. So, you know what? I never know. But anyways, The Hunger Games is going to be coming out soon on the big screen, and it's already pre-sold over 1 million tickets online.
Wow. Now, Chris, this really isn't a comic type thing, but, on the wake of not necessarily a comic property, but John Carter is kind of, in essence, a comic property because it went from pulps to comics
sure,
and stuff like
sure.
that. And that just tanked. And here's something that is just getting some sort of, some snowball-y online buzz. And then people and the kids are getting excited.
Oh,
Maybe we could all learn from it. Maybe you get the kids excited, the teenagers excited about this kind of stuff.
For
and then, just the stupid amount of attention being being focused on the amount of pre-tickets sold to this thing.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So you're getting a property that came out of, I guess, relatively speaking, nowhere.
Well, yeah. I mean,
books a few years ago. You know, this, I would put this along the vein of a Harry Potter.
But yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. And here's the thing. You know, you get a property like John Carter that's been around for 100 years, yeah, and tanks in the theaters.
Yes.
Then you get a property that's been around for a couple of years and is going to make $100 million. $100 billion.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, yeah, really, it's going to do amazingly well.
It's going to make $200 million the first flipping weekend.
That's right. Right. Yeah. So somebody has to learn something about from what's going
this.
From this.
Right.
Exactly.
And it's almost what this almost, believe it or not, what this movie, and I guess the tie-in to comics, if there is one, is what this movie really kind of focuses on is that the comic book properties are old hats, too.
Right, yes.
Because we're all waiting on Avengers. We're all waiting on Dark Knight. We're all waiting on Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But they're tried and true. They're all kind of like, we're all hopeful that they do well.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This is something that's just kind of, you know, out from left field in a sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, before it comes out, it's like almost a guaranteed success. So what did they do different?
But,
how did that come, you know, like,
yeah.
And they say kids don't read. You know, they say kids don't read the chapter books.
You get enough good quality material out there, mm-hmm, material out there for people to read, and kids are going to actually flock to it, much like they did, as I said before, Twilight, and now with Hunger Games.
Right.
Now, but this is now nothing new. But what I am energized about is the fact that there are new ideas coming out that people are enjoying.
Right.
And this is clearly something new and different, because for too long we're seeing a lot of the same old crap being rehashed all over the place, right? So
right.
this is good. I'm excited about this.
Right. And you know what? And of course, like the eternal optimist I am, I credit comic books for the success of Hunger Games, because my kid, who's going to see this movie, he can't
right.
wait. He's going with all his friends.
Right, right, right.
He started reading comic books. That took him into chapter books.
Ah, I see what you're saying,
yes. It took him into Hunger Games.
Good call, good
right.
call. All right,
all right. Anyway.
Let's keep on moving here. Walking Dead Season 2 finale sets new records.
Yes, it did.
Now, apparently, the last night's show drew 9 million viewers. Is that correct?
No, 10.5 million viewers.
Oh.
It was Sunday night's show, Chris.
Oh, sorry, Sunday night. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, Sunday night's show, including its including the repeat showing. There's two showings.
Right, right.
Okay, so repeat showing, 10.5 million viewers. That's set new records. That's amazing.
That's amazing. Now, you're a big fan of The Walking Dead.
Yes, I am. Now, I did not get a chance to see the finale,
right?
So I don't really want to talk about it too much, because I don't want to give it away even for myself.
Well, no, I've got the total synopsis here. I'm going to go over.
Please do not. Please don't do that. Yeah, right. As I'm sure there's a lot of listeners out there who haven't seen the last episode
now,
yet.
This is where TV has changed for me when I was a kid. I don't remember, but like I thought you and I maybe like a couple of weeks ago were talking about the premiere of the second part of the season,
right?
Which, like how long are these TV
only
shows? Like five shows,
six episodes long.
Wow.
So the second season was, I think, 12 episodes, maybe
right.
13. But I think
so they
12.
Do six, take a break, do another six,
exactly.
and then take
done.
A long break.
And then take a long break until season three.
Right.
Right. So
right.
So season all of season two is now done.
Right.
Right. So now we're just going to wait for season three, which will start probably in like September of this year.
I'm wondering how far they're diverging from the graphic novels. And now I read something on the net about what's his name, the guy that wrote it, Robert Kirkman.
Yep.
He's introducing a new character that wasn't in necessarily the book. Some
right,
Michonne.
Right. Yes.
And he's actually doing.
But this is a spoiler here, because it appeared in the last episode.
Right. Okay. I'm
so,
sorry.
Okay,
spoiler alert here. Spoiler.
Yeah.
And he's actually doing a backstory on this character in the April issue of Playboy magazine.
Right. Right.
Which
so,
is cool.
Which is kind of neat.
So,
yeah.
Which is, you know, I got a great Chris, my wife. What the hell are you doing with a Playboy? Honey, look.
It's all about the comics.
It's all about the comics.
That's right.
So that's great. So that's great news for Walking Dead.
Yes.
Great news for comic books. Great news for everybody, really.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's keep on going here. We got marketing campaign for Amazing Spider-Man goes viral.
Yeah. So I'm reading this. Sony, I guess, who's making the Spider-Man thing.
Right.
They want to try this kind of viral ad campaign, which I don't really know much about. They're trying to make this... I don't know, this kind of fake news station, webbedmenace.com, where people were, you know, like technically owned by J. Jonah Jameson.
Right.
And they're trying to, YouTube and stuff.
They're trying to make fake news about reports.
Right. And hopefully a couple of they're expecting a couple of maybe the videos to go viral or something.
Well,
like that.
And I think they're hoping that eventually it'll go viral, but basically just draw more attention to the Spider-Man movie. They're going to say, like, you know, because it's going to be a fake news broadcast about Spider-Man, which will help entice people because they're going to be seeing what's going to happen with the Spider-Man movie, so they'll entice people to go see the movie.
Right, but these things are not clips of the Spider-Man
movie. It's in addition to.
They're addition to the Spider-Man movie.
That's
so
right.
They're not necessarily new content to the movie, but they're...
But they could support the content.
Support the content of the movie. So I would imagine that okay, so just help me understand this.
All right.
So I would imagine that the major costs of promoting or marketing a movie would be the advertising rates.
Not
necessarily
so.
The production of the commercial or the 30-second clip or the 20-second clip.
Right.
Or whatever.
But buying the ad time. But
buying the ad time on TV or wherever, right? Or in front of a movie or whatever.
Right.
So what these guys are trying to do is they're, you know, a la cheap, making the little skits, little news reports. Then they're throwing it up on this website.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that people will spread, oh, this was cool. You know,
did you see what happened?
And then that, because they don't have to pay, you know, CBC or NBC or whatever to carry it, because this thing is now being viewed on YouTube for free. They don't have to pay anybody by 800 trillion people.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's not the actual trailer, because so it's going to be supporting parts of the, like, not really part of the movie, but supporting clips of the movie that won't be part of the movie, but in which people may want to see, because maybe the movie will reference those clips, and then so when they see the clips, they'll be like, and then when they see the movie, they'll be like, oh, that references the clip that we saw. So it's something that you'll want to see if you're going to see the movie.
Right. Okay. I get it. All right. Well, hey, best of luck.
That was really tough. That was really.
You know what? I mean, listen. You have to sometimes explain it to me, because sometimes
I know.
I just don't get it.
It's okay.
All right. Let's talk about Why the Last Man, Chris, which was an awesome, awesome Brian K. Vaughan, I guess maxi series.
Yeah. Well, I guess so.
Like,
it's
just a whole series.
Yeah,
I guess.
The whole series.
Issues or so.
And don't forget, you know, Pia Guerra was also the artist on
You're
that.
You're absolutely right. And that encompassed. Well, now it encompasses 10 full graphic novels.
Right.
And it's one of the kind of staples. You know, if anybody went into a local comic book shop, and if you haven't been into a local comic book shop, and you go in and you talk to the shopkeeper, or the manager, or the person behind the counter, and you ask them for a recommendation of something to read, and you say, hey, you know, something non-superhero-y, I guarantee you 9 out of 10 will have Why the Last Man
Absolutely,
on that list.
It's a great series. And you know what? Brian K. Vaughan, who was the writer, he also did a lot of the writing for the TV series Lost.
Right.
So he's really – he's very versatile in his writing, and clearly he's very good at what he does. And, of course, so this Why the Last Man series, it's been on the books now for a while, for trying to either come up with a series or a movie or something like that. Well, it looks like finally now they're still trying to make the movie of this. But it looks like it's getting a little bit better. It's because it has –
Right, they're getting a new writer.
Right, new
I
writer.
Guess it got shelved. And I think it wasn't necessarily the fact that the studios were not interested in making the movie. It was how to make it.
Right.
Because it's huge. Do you make it in two parts? Do you make it in three parts? Do you go – I remember there was talk years ago of going to like a showcase type where you – like Walking Dead.
Right.
Or AMC or something, and make it a cable series.
It really should be.
Right.
I mean, you know, for years people were talking about how hard it would be to make a movie of The Watchmen, which was only 12 issues. Well, now you're looking at Why the Last Man, which is –
60 issues, right.
If not more, right? You know, it was 60. Sorry, 60 issues.
Yeah.
You know, so how do you make a 2-hour movie from a 60-issue comic, right? Like, it's just too much information.
Yeah.
So really, it should be like The Walking Dead. It should be made into either an HBO series or a miniseries or a couple of movies, or if not three, you know, like a trilogy kind of thing.
Right. And it's important to note that the New Line, the company that wants to make the movie, is just hiring the writer, and it, the same thing may happen. The writer may say, "Hey, I can't fit all this into."
Yeah, absolutely, right? Absolutely.
So, all right, let's. Hey, Chris, I want to talk about this. I found this interesting. Being an old shopkeep, so Marvel is about to, reduce the. This is from Bleeding Cool. Their newsstand distribution. So. Maybe like we talk a little bit. I remember you've worked in comic shops for since you were in diapers, probably.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right? And comics and before the comic shops kind of took hold of the comic culture, really,
right.
were distributed in what they called the newsstand distribution.
Right.
Local variety stores,
yep.
Shopping store, like supermarket
stores.
Yeah,
even once in a while you'd get the odd bookstore that would have a rack full of comics.
Right.
It wouldn't have like a whole lot, but it'd have like a spinning rack full of them. But, yeah.
Right, but this newsstand distribution was based on returnability.
Right.
So, a lot of times old collectors, when you see... you see old comic books with those little dates or little numbers on them.
Yeah, yeah, like a little stamp date.
Yeah, that was the shopkeep in a little grease pencil writing down when they received the books.
Right.
So he knows or she knows when to return the books if they don't sell, right? And so that was kind of that's still going on because, I'm just going to guess 95% of superhero comics sell at local comic book shops.
I would think that's about right, yeah.
But there are still, I guess there's still a viable... out there for this newsstand distribution, which I think they're going to kill now.
Well, I'm actually shocked that it's still going. I didn't know that it was still going. I thought that the whole newsstand distribution was gone already.
Right.
I haven't seen a comic book in a variety store in I don't know how long, mm-hmm. let alone a bookstore or anything like that.
But you will see it at in Canada, like a Chapters on the spinning racks.
Yes,
and stuff
yes.
Like that.
But I haven't seen that as I said, a variety store or anything like that.
Right. So what Marvel is doing now, I think they're going to discontinue most of that stuff, and if these bookstores, variety stores, whatever kind of stores, want to continue carrying comics,
right.
They'll have to get diamond distribution accounts.
Oh,
which all
really?
The comic shops have.
Right.
Now, the problem with that is these people are used to returnability,
yeah.
So they don't have to think, right?
Right.
I'll just get 10 of each every month and then
yeah.
return when I don't.
Yeah.
Whereas local comic shops, they have to be careful of what they order because there's no returnability.
Right.
So they have to be well aware that sales are going down on this book. So I got 20 last month. I may have to get 18 this month.
Right.
Or that kind of stuff. Or 15 this month. So this may not sit well for that busy, busy bookstore or whatever that now I got to, join Diamond and actually count what's sold. And then,
yeah.
So I think they're going to,
I would think it's going to
say no.
It's going to die pretty quickly.
Yeah.
If variety stores or bookstores have to do that, I would think it's going to die pretty quick.
Which I guess could be an opportunity for your local comic book shop, and promote in your city that you have the stuff that those bigger box stores are not carrying anymore. And I guess the end of an era, perhaps, is the best way to put that.
Yes. Unfortunately, it was always a big thing when I was a kid to go to the local pharmacy or something like that and go and, pick up an issue of Spider-Man or Richie Rich or whatever it happened to be. And but now that's gone, right? So...
The thrill is gone.
The thrill is gone. Speaking of which, let's have a quick musical interlude here, and we'll get back to comic talk in 2 seconds.
Santana. Chris, you know what? I'm on to you, though.
Right.
I'm on to you, Owen.
Oh, okay.
I'm
what is
on
it?
To you.
What is it?
You brought the wrong CD today, pal. You brought the wrong musical CD. You're in a rush. You're in a hurry.
But hold on.
I got to go to that show.
But isn't there a comic book called Santana?
There is.
Satana. Sorry.
And Black Widow.
Black Magic. There's a Black Magic comic.
You know what? You're right. All right. I'll give that to you.
Yeah, I know I'm stretching things a bit here, but you know.
You knew exactly what you were doing.
Absolutely.
All right.
So listen, Walt. So as I was talking about before, they had the WonderCon in Anaheim, California this last weekend.
The WonderCon.
WonderCon.
Yes.
And
second biggest con on the West Coast.
Yes. Now, a good friend of mine, Mr. Glenn Kay, he went to go see that. He was at the WonderCon, and he went to a bunch of... they have the trailers and they have, events.
Trailer trash.
Events and things like that. Well, he saw the 3D movie Prometheus. Now, I know you, Walt, and I talked about Prometheus last week.
Yes.
Because remember we talked about the trailer for the trailer.
Right. The trailer for the trailer.
So he saw the new trailer and he said the film really looks incredible. For those of you who are just tuning in now with us now, this is, of course, the new movie by Ridley Scott, who did the original Alien movie and Blade Runner movie.
Yep.
And he said that this looks fantastic. Now, even though he said that, I shouldn't say that. So hold on. So basically, Ridley Scott has come out and said this is not supposed to be anything to do with Alien. However,
right.
If you look at the shots, if you look at the trailer,
it kind of looks alien-ish.
It kind of looks like it is an Alien prequel.
Right.
And there's a lot of hints that are going on around how this is going to be the prequel to the movie Alien. Now, I don't know if he's not calling it an Alien prequel because maybe there's some sort of merchandising or licensing rights to the Alien franchise, and maybe he just wants to make this movie and talk about it as if it's not meant to be one, but it kind of, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, this is actually the Alien prequel. I don't know if that's going on.
Right.
Or maybe eventually we are going to find out that this really was supposed to be the Alien prequel, but he just didn't want people to know it.
Right.
I don't know, but he said it looks fantastic.
Right. You know what's cool is he actually says in the email, he says, I got to see Ridley Scott. He got to see Charlize Theron and Michael Fassbender.
Yes.
Who I believe is the beekeeper's son.
Who's the beekeeper's son?
Mr. Fassbender, the beekeeper.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, all right.
And Michael Fassbender, he was also in the X-Men Origin movie. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. That's cool. So he went sat in
X-Men First Class.
Yeah, sat in on that.
Yeah.
And what else did he say?
He also saw the Amazing Spider-Man thing, and he said it looks great. He said he saw a conversation scene that featured Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. He said the dialogue is really good. He said right. that's the thing that seems to really set this movie apart from the Sam Raimi movies, is that the dialogue is fantastic because they're giving Peter Parker a bit more sass as Spider-Man. So, he said he saw a clip where, he's beating up crooks and basically he's doing, as we talked about earlier, he's doing the verbal jabbing, he's kind of insulting them as he's punching them out.
Stuff, right?
Exactly. So he said, and in fact, the director claimed he was inspired by issue number 8.
Oh, right. The early issue.
Early issue number eight. Yeah. So
the old Steve Ditko Stan Lee book.
That's right. So
that's cool.
So he's really looking forward to that. He did talk about another one called Looper, which I've never actually heard of before. But apparently it's a sci-fi flick with Bruce Willis. Apparently, it's about a guy who travels through time to eliminate people who become problems in the future. And while he's on the job, he finds out that he's been sent to kill himself.
Nicely
so,
done.
Yeah, interesting concept. Different, which I always like. Now, those were the movies he said were really good.
Right.
As far as the movies he said were, just okay, one of them that stood out.
So hold on.
Yeah.
Your friend Danny Kay.
Not Danny Kay. Danny Kay from, Singing in the Rain.
Right, yeah. So your friend...
Glenn Kay.
Glenn Kay, I'm sorry. Yeah. Your friend Glenn Kay basically has pre-seen most of the movies that are coming out, or big
he's
good
only
parts
seen trailers.
Trailers, all right. And so he's basically telling us which ones are going to be good,
right?
And which ones are going to
be
bad.
Yeah, he's very good at this
because he got the vibe at WonderCon.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, I get it now.
Now, somewhere he said that there was a couple of crappy movies, but somewhere in the middle was Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer.
Right.
Now, this is
how'd that get in the middle? I figured that would be right on the very bottom. I'm serious. Like, right below. Like, you know?
Apparently, well, I think it's one of those things where it's just so ridiculous, it's kind of funny.
Right.
Like, he says, they dramatize real events in Lincoln's life, just adding ridiculous vampire-fighting action into the prominent historical events, like the reading of the Gettysburg Address.
Right.
So, you know, if you can
just before he said 4 score and 7 years ago, he was probably fighting vampires.
Exactly. That's right.
All right.
Yeah,
I got to see that one.
For sure. Right. For sure. Then they said on the not so good side was Resident Evil Retribution, which looks to be identical to every other Resident Evil
movie. I haven't seen it, but there's a fan base.
Paul Anderson, who's directed, I think, all or some of them, anyways, and star Mila Jovovich. Apparently they were going to be the same ones and resurrecting the same characters, but you know, it's same as it ever was. Talking Heads again.
Same as it ever was. All right. And I don't know why he would do this, but apparently he says Battleship might not be good.
Yeah. Well, apparently at this sort of premiere type trailer thing, he said some of the people there from the Battleship movie were there basically trying to do damage control and remind people that this was just meant to be, hey, it's just a fun movie, guys. Don't think too much of it.
Hey, look, guys needed a tax write-off.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they sunk 200 and something million into a piece of crap. So just don't take it seriously, please.
Yeah, so apparently it's not that good. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. It's it looks like a weird action film holdover from the early 1980s or 90s, he says. So he says the audience was polite, but this still looks like a loser.
Wow. Wow. Well, I look forward to that one. Anyway, listen, you know, the thing is this summer there are a lot of good things. And you know what? People, the great thing about movies is kind of like music. It's subjective, you know?
Right.
I went in. My kids love John Carter. They loved
it.
It's tanking. But my kids loved it, right? So, you know, kids are going to, or people are going to go into Battleship and just absolutely go, oh, my favorite movie ever.
You never know, right? You know, so, I wonder if Battleship, you know, I wonder if not, sorry, not Battleship. I wonder if John Carter's going to do better in DVD sales, right? Like, I mean, I wonder if it's going to be one of those movies that becomes like a cult classic eventually. It just wasn't recognized in the theaters.
Right. You know who hopes so?
Who's that?
Disney.
Yeah, they really do.
Right.
All right. Well, that is unfortunately all the time we have for today.
All right. Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll to the comments. Enter your comments. And visit us at getthepointradio.com.
And remember, spring is here, so get off your butt and get some sunshine, why don't you?
All right. Support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a great day.